encourage you to pull your Bibles out, and we're looking at a passage from John chapter 15, the first 8 verses. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the children of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Abide, 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 abide. It's an old-fashioned word, isn't it? Sometimes you might say, well, it's my humble abode. Your home, where you stay, where you're connected. Let's pray together. God, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as these words are preached today, as your scripture has been read, as your songs of praise have been offered, as the offerings have been given, Lord, as our prayers have been offered to you, I pray, Lord, that now you be with this preacher. You be with this church and be with those who are worshiping with us online, that you would speak a powerful word to us. We pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. There are perks and privileges to being a full-time pastor in the state of Arkansas, the United Methodist Church. One of those is housing. Most churches provide either a house for their pastor, something that we call a parsonage, or they provide an allowance that helps a pastor rent or buy their own place. You, of course, have a parsonage over on Osage Lane. This is my 8th assignment as a pastor in Arkansas. 5 times I've lived in a parsonage. 3 times we've had a chance to buy our own house. I remember that first house that we bought, a little house in a subdivision in West Little Rock called Cherry Creek. Everything was cherry. Cherry Blossom, Cherry Drive. We lived on Cherry Laurel Drive. When we bought the house and we moved into it, Susie said, "I want to paint a room blue." Because if you live in a parsonage, most of the time, the walls are painted a certain color. Sherwin Williams calls it parsonage white. I mean, that's what you usually get. And so she wanted to paint this room blue, and so we painted the room blue. We stayed in that house, lived in that house for 3 years, and then we were pointing to a church across town, and we thought it would send a clear message if we moved into the house that they had for us. And so that's exactly what we did. We sold our house, and we moved across town. The parsonage at St. Paul had been vacant for 5 years. Their pastors had lived in other places, in their own houses, I guess. So there was a sprucing that began, a deep cleaning. Walls were painted. Furniture was removed. Carpets were cleaned. Leaves that had been gathering for 5 years were raked and removed. And boxwood and azaleas were planted. Next door, Sherry and Rudy Bischoff had lived for many, many years. They'd seen pastors come and go every 4 or 5 years at the parsonage there. In 1979, 23 years before I arrived and lived in that house, there were condos that were being built behind Rudy's property. He had a great deck back there. Every morning he'd go out there and drink coffee, and most nights he'd go out there and sit with another beverage. I might say he's a good Lutheran. and they would grill and just family gatherings. He didn't want to look out and see a parking lot and condo. So he went to a nursery and he bought a whole bunch of small green leafy plants. And on the back of his property, he planted them every 3 or 4 inches. And because he bought so many, he decided that he would plant some along the fence line that separated our house and his house. That plant was bamboo. Bamboo. By the time we moved there, bamboo was everywhere. It didn't stay on his side of the fence. It laughed at the chain link fence and went under it, and there was bamboo all over the back of our property too. While they were sprucing up the yard, I should have said yes when Vicki Alexander asked me, "Would you like for us to remove the bamboo?" As if they could. As if they could. That summer, I spent many days cutting it down, hauling it to the front yard for the city to pick up. My brother-in-law was a landscaper, so I asked Dane, "What do you do about bamboo?" He said, "Move." I said, "Brother, I can't move. I just got here, and I just sold a house." He says, "Okay, try this." He says, "Buy pure, undiluted Roundup. Cut the stalk, and before it has a chance to close in, because it will quickly, pour pure, undiluted Roundup in the stalk." I did that. And down deep, I heard the bamboo laughing at me. Well, I learned a lot about bamboo during my tenure at that church, 7 years. But the best lesson was this: as long as the roots are connected, bamboo grows and spreads very quickly. Perhaps you can see where this sermon is going today. The Bible does not specifically mention bamboo, I checked, but it does talk about vines and branches and vineyards. Let me say this: I've always loved this passage. I love the strength that you can find in its words, and I love its simple message. And its simple message is this: staying connected is very good for us. So let me remind you of some things about this passage that you have probably heard other preachers say. It comes in a part of John's gospel that we call the farewell discourse. In the farewell discourse, Jesus, between chapters 13 and chapter 17, Jesus is preparing his disciples for what life will be like when he is gone. And it is here that we get strong images. Images like bread and wine, body and blood, a water-filled basin and a towel. The idea that we are no longer just disciples but friends, Jesus calls us friends, and the idea that we are to serve one another. Nestled in the midst of that, in chapter 15, is this image of vines and branches. Second, this also is a part of one of the I am statements of Jesus. You'll only find those in the fourth gospel, in John's gospel. Last week, we looked at one of them where Jesus says, you remember, "I am the good shepherd." John uses those statements the way Matthew, Mark, and Luke sometimes use parables. There's 7 I am statements. Well, yes, I'll be happy to tell you what the I am statements are. He says, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd." He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then finally he says, I am the true vine. Here's how I imagine it happened. Jesus and the disciples were coming down the steps from that upper room, and there was a vine that was growing kind of wildly. That would have happened. It would have grown like ivy all around. And Jesus lifted it up, he redirected it for growth, and he gave us the lesson, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Aren't you glad that I did a little vine research today? I want to point out four things that I learned about vines. Here's the first. A good vine grower, and that's God in our lesson, if he wants the vine to keep bearing fruit, we'll prune it. You ever done that? Prune something back? Crepe myrtles are a good example of that. A lot of people will cut those back and they'll grow and they'll flourish. Some people say don't do that, but a lot of people do. I always did when I had crepe myrtles. That's the first thing I learned. If you prune something back, it'll start to grow. The second thing I learned is that a good vine grower will take a branch that is bearing a lot of fruit and he'll prune it back too, so that in the future it will grow even more vines. Here's the third thing I learned about vines in the days of Jesus. A good vine grower would not allow a vine to produce fruit for 10 years. Kevin, that's a long time to wait for a grape. That's a really long time. But that's what a good vine grower did. And then finally, I learned this, that the strongest place in a vine is where the vine and the branches come together. Jesus was clear. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me, that is, live in me, and I live in them, bear much fruit. Apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. Those are the verses that come near the beginning of our lesson. And then Jesus follows up with this, you have been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. The word cleansed here means pruned. It's the same word. So in essence, by listening to the word of God, are y'all with me? By listening to the word of God and by following it, you're ready for growth. Amen? You're ready for growth. That's awesome. I'm the vine. You are the branches. But how many times have I heard it? How many times have I even said it where someone has said to me or I've said to somebody else, I just feel so disconnected. Am I the only one? Have you ever felt that way? I just felt disconnected. When we lived in Batesville for those 3 years, and I was district superintendent there, Susie tore her meniscus and had to have knee surgery. There was a family there that we had known for a long time. Lewis C. And his family, his daughter Jennifer, became good friends with us. And she said, I want to bring y'all dinner when you come home after surgery. I said, that'd be great. She says, I make this great meal. It's smothered steak with all the things that go with it. It's my family's favorite. You're going to love it. I said, okay. And so I was looking forward to the smothered steak and not having to cook and make sure Susie had all that she needed following surgery. And Jennifer knocked on the door, and we opened the door, and she had a bag of Popeye's chicken in her hand. And I said, what happened to the smothered steak? She said, well, it seems that you have to, and here's the picture, plug in the crock pot before you go to work in the morning. And so I've given Jennifer a hard time about that for now close to 5 or 6 years. But do you know that feeling if we're not plugged in, if we're not connected to, then we're just going to sit still and we'll have to go buy Popeyes, I guess. We are better when we are connected together. Amen? So with the time left in our sermon, I want to offer three ways that we can stay connected. And these are themes that I preach about on a regular basis. If you say, hey, I think you've said that before, I have, and I'll say it again. But one of the best ways that we can stay connected is through prayer and study. I'm going to focus on prayer. I'll come back to study. At its very core, I believe ministry is about relationships. It's about, first and foremost, our relationship with our God, and it's about our relationships with each other, and it's about our relationships with our community. It's about helping other people. Do you agree? Yeah, that's what I believe. The most important relationship is the one then that we have with God. God wants to celebrate our victories and stand with us in our struggles. He wants to offer us peace. And when we worry, God says, don't do that. Do not worry about anything. Like I said a sermon or two ago, one of the Bible's best affirmations is this line that we don't walk alone, that we walk with God. So one of the first things I want to say to you today is that if you want to stay connected to God, the best way to do that is prayer. I don't know, maybe you start with prayer at your first of the day, or maybe you end with prayer at the day. I like what Paul says, to pray without ceasing. Dial God up in the morning and hang up as right before you go to sleep. Let your day be a day of prayer, so pray. Here's the second thing I want to encourage you. Find faithful friends. Find faithful friends. That is, people who will be your friend, people who will reach out to you. Friendships are hard, amen? I mean, they take a lot of work and take a lot of energy. For more than 20 years, maybe 25 now, I have met with two pastor friends. We used to gather in Little Rock because one of them lived way here and one of them lived way there. And so we were gathering in Little Rock once a month. We'd drink coffee, and then we'd eat lunch, and we'd spend the day together just catching up and talking about ministry. When COVID hit, we couldn't do that. And so we decided that we'd Zoom. And so now, every Monday morning at 10 o'clock, most Monday mornings, we gather. And I'll tell you, I'm zoomed out. But I look forward to that Zoom because I get the chance to connect with two of my best friends in ministry. I hope you find someone who doesn't live in Magnolia, in Hot Springs, in Mountain Home. We're spread out. Zoom is our best option. But I hope that you will find faithful friends in this congregation, in this town, maybe over the phone, and that you will spend time with them. Because when you do that, you will feel connected. Amen? And then here's the third. And here's where the study part comes out. I'm a big believer in discipleship in small groups. Amen? I believe that we started with that, and churches have taken that model from us, and that we don't do it as well as we once did. And I know this is the not the best time to talk about getting involved in a small group as summer is about to begin. But I know there's a class, Tom, isn't there a class right over there? Right over there, and they're studying Hebrews, and I would encourage you to study Hebrews with them. I know there are two or three small groups that are ongoing, a gathering that happened maybe even last weekend. I am big on doing that. And so here's my goal. Here's my goal as your pastor, to lead a study every fall, to lead a study every spring, and invite you to be a part of that. It won't be on a Sunday morning, probably on a Sunday afternoon or a Wednesday night. And here's my goal for you, that we start three new small groups before Christmas. That's not a big goal. That's very achievable. The small group that I'm in on Thursday night, we're taking new members. And it is a blessing to me to come to that on Thursday nights. So I am the vine, You are the branches. Stay connected to God with prayer. Find faithful friends. Stay connected to your faith with small groups and study. If you do these things, I am confident there'll be plenty of fruit. Let us pray. God, thank you for all that you do for us. We know that fellowship is an important part of the church. And so we encourage that. Maybe even today we stay, drink a cup of coffee before we head off to Sunday school. There's a class right across here, and the pairs and spares class is down that way. And I would invite you to invite us to one of those classes today. God, I pray that you would bless us and keep us close to you. We do want to feel this connection. We want to abide in you, and we want you to abide in us. We don't want to feel disconnected. We want to feel connected. God, thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name.